There was once someone who did such marvelous things and who said such wonderful things that people began to flock to him, to hear him preach and to teach. One of those times when they came to him, they said, "Who are you?" And one of those times when they said to him, "Who are you?" he answered them by saying, "I am the light of the world." And he gathered the people one day on the side of a mountain and invited them to please be seated. He began to teach to the people, and he reminded them of some ancient teachings. He reminded them that it was once written, "An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth." What might this really mean? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Originally, it was meant to teach restraint. It was meant to teach people to be fair. It was used especially in times of war or in times of battle. That if someone hits you, you can hit them back of equal measure. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's an ancient teaching, but it's one we continue to practice today. Armies and nations, when they attack one another, continue to use this principle. It often goes by a new name called proportional response. And it plays out something like this. If you shoot down one of our planes, we'll shoot down a helicopter. If you take out a barracks, we might take out one of your depots. If you take our airport, you can expect that we'll come and take your train station. It's fair, it's measured, but it's not life-giving. It's fair and it's equal, but it still leaves a tremendous amount of death and destruction in its wake. Jesus entered the scene and said, "There's a new way of living. I call you to a new way of behaving, a new way of being in the world, a way that brings the kingdom closer and that is life-giving." And so he tells them these different statements, you know, if someone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek. If someone comes to take your coat, give them your coat and your cloak also. Don't hold anything back from someone who would take things from you. This month is February. February is honored as Black History Month, and many of the stories of the civil rights movement are near in the forefront of our consciousness. We know that Martin Luther King and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference leaned heavily on passages like the gospel from today and other passages like it in their resistance movements. Jesus says, if you are asked to go 1 mile, go the extra mile. Well, we know that that was done in order to boycott the buses and the transportation system. People often went 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles. We know that some taxi cab drivers set a flat rate fare that was the same as the bus fare, 10 cents for a ride wherever you need to go in town. We know that many churches began to have shoe drives to help replace the worn out footwear of the people who were walking those extra miles. Turn the other cheek, give your cloak as well. It also sounded something like this. When you sit at the lunch counter where you are not wanted, and they begin to pour ketchup on your head, stay there when they pour the mustard too. In a more dark and sinister way, when you go to march across the bridge and they aim the hoses at you, keep walking, even though they unleash the dogs next. People speculate, why does this teaching work? Why does it work? Why does turn the other cheek work? And of all the explanations, one that sticks with me is that it confounds expectations. We expect that people will behave either in this restrained, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, if I hit you, you'll hit me, or we expect a more human response, that if you push me in my anger, I will completely obliterate you, that overreaction. Nobody expects a reaction that is an overreaction, but an overreaction that falls on the side of peace and grace and love and mercy. This teaching of Jesus confounds all of our expectations. It's one of the reasons why it works. But it also points to an overreaction. That original teaching was meant to restrain an overreaction in anger and frustration. And yet Jesus seems to be calling us into a type of overreaction. But it's an overreaction that falls on the side of grace and love and mercy. We are called to overreact, but on the side of graciousness. I think we know what this looks like. We see it from time to time. Catch a glimpse of it, a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven breaking through. What does it look like? Well, I think sometimes it looks like lobbies in airports filled with lawyers and their laptops, working to make sure that people who are held unfairly in custody can find a way out. An overreaction of graciousness. What else does it look like? Millions of women and men and children marching peacefully. When the prevailing rhetoric is those immigrants are taking our jobs, and then a company like Starbucks says, you know, 5 years ago we made a commitment that we would hire 10,000 veterans. We'll make another commitment. We'll hire 10,000 immigrants, 10,000 refugees. We will overreact in a way that is gracious and loving and merciful. Will overreact in a way that brings the kingdom of God just a tiny little bit closer. I think you know here how that might work. I've seen it work in this place. In this place where we say, you know, we're going to serve lunch 5 days a week, but we'll also serve breakfast. In this place where we say, we're going to sponsor a household of refugees, and we sponsor two households of refugees. In this place where we demonstrate a love and a commitment for social justice. In most places, maybe you'd find the energy for one cause. And yet here, we find love and capacity to stand up for people of different sexual orientation, and refugees, and indigenous people. We stand up for issues relating to creation and good stewardship of the earth. We overreact all the time in ways that are generous and gracious and good. And each time we do, we bring forward a piece of the kingdom of God, and we show the world just a glimpse of what the kingdom of God begins to look like. This is good news in and of itself. But I think there's another piece of good news in Jesus' teaching for us today, because it speaks to how God behaves. God behaves in a way that overreacts, that is disproportional, that is ridiculous, even. It's not restrained and it's not measured. But God reacts in love with us in a way that is exaggerated and completely over the top. That's what we see in God's love and mercy. And even in our darkest moments, in those times when we feel most unlovable, most unworthy, we can trust and be confident that our God responds to us and calls us into relationship, and not just in a way that is fair and even or deserving, but in a way that is exaggerated, a way that is disproportional, a way that is completely over the top, but that always falls on the side of grace and love and mercy. For this and for all of God's mercies, thanks be to God.